And now we're going to jump from the 1930s to the present, and specifically to Silicon Valley. And it's hard to shake problem with diversity. One organization that is hoping to change that is Code 2040. It's a nonprofit based in San Francisco that works to create opportunities for African Americans and Latinos in the tech industry. Their vision, according to their website, is an innovation economy where Black and Latinx people are contributing as technologists, investors, and leaders. Carla Monterroso is the CEO of Code 2040, and she joins me here in our Harlem studio to talk about this. So, Carla, welcome to Latino USA. And what is Code 2040?
Code 2040 believes that the future of the economy and likely our social contract is going to be determined by the tech industry. And if there are not enough Black and Latinx people architecting the internet, then we have no hope of closing the racial wealth gap. And so we create pathways for people to become a part of the industry. We create skills for the industry itself to learn how to integrate. And then we mobilize our community around change. Like, we are at the beginning of what is a 30-40 year stretch of tech reshaping the way that the economy works. And broadly, that has been created by white men in their 20s and 30s.
And it doesn't necessarily flow that the people who work in the tech industry would be Trump supporters.
Yeah.
So help us to understand and connect those dots.
Yeah. I think the history of race in this country is that people who would not consider themselves outright racist have built systems that disadvantage people of color over and over again. And then the shock and awe and insult that someone might think that that was the case. When I look at the election of Donald Trump, several things had to line up. One, the ability to release information and news to targeted audiences by race had to exist. It also is how money was managed, used, and deployed here, right? So the shock value of all of the things that Donald Trump said.
You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs. Your Twitter account.
Only Rosie O'Donnell.
Created an economic incentive for his message to be spread far and wide for those tech companies. Right? Because if that's going to get you clicks, likes, and people logging back in, then economically, it is much better for you. And if you're building to that, then you are not protecting a society, right? And then the third thing is the assumption was made, oh, let's put all of these people in one platform and they will find their way to each other in community, right? Like, that was like the big assumption in a lot of, I would say, like social media. And what ended up happening was the people with power got more power in that environment. And the people without power did not have access to the tools that would protect them.
So basically, you're saying that there was this idea that social media platforms essentially would bring people together and give people the power of their own voice. What ended up happening is that they allowed people with power to assume even more power.
I had a number of like Nazis and white supremacists tweeting me before the election about the work that we do, right? We ended up on some list for white world media. And their ability both to find me and target me to try and squash my voice only happens if the person building the platform has no idea what is needed to really have free speech for all people. Right now, the conversation around free speech is such as like, oh, if anyone has to follow any rules, and that means we must not have free speech. But that speech has come at a cost to our community over and over and over again. It is not free. And the economic incentive and the social incentives that got created by all of these white men who had no idea what it looked like to create justice for Black and brown people created the hurricane that we find ourselves in today. 20% of all computer science graduates are Black and Latinx, and less than 5% of the tech industry is Black and Latinx. There's a real gap there.
So what does Tech America say about that? You've got 20% Black Latinx graduates who should be getting these jobs.
Well, up until now, the conversation has been that we aren't out there. We do not exist. And yet, the stats tell us that we do exist out there, but we are not getting hired. The Department of Labor says that by 2020, we're going to have 1.4 million new tech jobs, and 70% of those roles are going to be unfilled. Can you imagine an America where 70% of all tech roles are unfilled? All of the avenues by which we could be both integrating this industry and succeeding as an American community are being stopped for the segregation of this industry.
So where does Code 2040 kind of fit into the picture?
Yeah.
And how did it start?
It started out just as a student program. So we had five students the first year in 2012 that went into different companies. And over time, what has shifted is any time that a student program is run, we have a feedback loop for the company, right? Because we believe that nothing is wrong with the students. Actually, these problems happen with the company. So for our spring break program, for instance, Tech Trek, we bring 40 to 50 students for a week-long spring break. And we train those students how to give feedback. And after every single time they visit a company, we record that feedback. And at the end, we go to the company and we say to them, hey, listen, 73% of these students wanted to work for you before they came in, and only 23% of them want to work for you now that they've met you. Let's talk about why that is and the comments that they gave and how you rest in a group of your peers.
So now let's switch it to people of color and those who have the dream of moving into tech. What is the way to do that in a way that is actually consistent so that these kids don't feel like, oh, this is interesting. I did it for a month or two and now I'm dropping off and I don't even know what to do or where to look.
A couple of years ago, we did a survey with different universities and it became clear to us that between 70 to 96% of computer science students that were Black and Latinx were dropping out from their respective programs. And so the one thing I would say to those students is, like, you are not alone. You just got to find your community. So that's one. The second piece is that network matters. In our communities, we often talk to students about that, like, the hardest worker gets the job. I wish it was true, but it's just not. And part of this is, how do you start to build and create a network that will allow you access to those rooms? And that is going to different functions where you are going to have engineering talent there, whether that is a Black or Latinx room or if that is a predominantly white room. Like, how do you start to create a network of people that can connect you, right? And talking to that, because working hard is unfortunately just the first part of a much longer story.
Some of your research is quite specific, like when you talk about Latino men who are somehow kind of passing.
Latinx men are often hiding their racial identity within companies in order to be able to get ahead. One of the things that we found out really early on is that when a tech company was inclusive, their Latino stats actually popped up a bit immediately because folks would come out of the closet as Latinx. And so all of that really helped us know and understand some of the fallibility within our community too, and what we had to be training to and educating on so that we weren't going in adopting the very methods that white supremacy has taught us make us successful.
Given kind of the tenor of where we are as a country and conversations around race that are very, very difficult. So most of the time, do you feel yourself feeling like, yes, it's great, it's going to be great, or, whoa, we're going to have a lot more work to do?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Like, I hold all of the things that are happening right now right alongside, like, all the hope that I feel. I have watched young people do amazing things, amazing things. And then I think about enabling them with, like, a technical community that believes in their power And I see the ability to exponentially accelerate this conversation.
Carla, thank you so much for all of your work and for joining us on Latino USA.
Thank you, Maria.
Carla Monterroso is the CEO of Code 2040, a nonprofit based in San Francisco.